balls to say things that nobody else has the balls to say.
The 434 podcast with the box and the pow.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome everybody to another episode of the 434 podcast. I am the box, known as Brenton Cooper, and we have Chris Powell, known as the Pow. Say hi, Pow.
Hey, yo.
And tonight we have a very, very special guest, all the way from New Jersey in America.
The Jersey Shore.
The Fall of Man, hashtag Fall of Man, on the page. We're going to introduce him right now. And it's Sean. Say hi, Sean.
What's going on, guys? Glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. We've had another pretty good week of wrestling, I reckon. SmackDown was stepping up the pace, I think.
SmackDown was amazing. I didn't even see it.
But Raw was quite good. I heard even though the ratings were down, it was still a well-received show.
I think the people that watched it enjoyed it, and that was a good sign.
Yeah. Sean, what did you think, buddy? What did you think of Raw this week?
I enjoyed it. There were some parts that I thought were kind of slow, like backstage promos and stuff, but for most of it, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I can't really talk bad about it.
Awesome. Cool. Well,
it's been worse.
There has been worse.
It's been worse episodes, agree.
Like Nikki Bella's title win. But
yes, Nikki Bella was on. That was great.
Yeah, that was great. That was horrible.
Guys, there's no Nikki Bella, no John Cena, no Dudley Boys, no Kane.
Yeah, it wasn't.
What's
yeah.
going on?
Oh shit. Alright, let's kick Monday Night Raw off.
Look at the gods, the drugs from my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, and across the nation, and it's a sin.
Still the best Raw intro. I'm always going to say that. It is the best Raw intro by far.
It's not Nickelback.
It's not Nickelback, though. Nickelback.
I still like the old Attitude Era, yeah. Personally.
The old Attitude Era was quite good. The old Raw intro.
If I hear that, I get goosebumps.
All right, so let's kick off Monday Night Raw. We had Roman Reigns make his appearance and talk about him being, you know, the number one contender and
baby girl.
He's getting good at his promos, I reckon. He's getting a lot better. It's still a bit lame, but at the end of the day, like it's getting more intriguing. Sean, what do you think of Roman Reigns and his promos that he's doing these days?
Roman Reigns is my boy.
Yeah.
He's getting better. He's still not at his top, he's not at his final form, let's say that. He's still, like, not comfortable yet, though. I can totally tell that.
Mm.
He looks at the crowd and he gets frozen. Says his lines and stuff like that, and it's just not as impactful as it should be. And if he's going to be the next face of the company, then we're going to be in store for some dark days ahead of us.
Yeah. The power's applauding that.
As a fan of Roman Reigns, I can say that. He needs more improvement.
There needs to be more people that like you.
But if you're not a fan of Roman Reigns, you can't talk shit.
Oh, come on. He sucks.
Get out of here, Bigfoot.
What do you honestly think, though, Power, about Reigns and his promo work? Just his promo work, not the fact that you hate his guts. And
I think his promo work is improving lately.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's just getting a little bit better. But
they're just a little bit better. Have you noticed they're still short and sweet?
Yeah. Yeah, it gets quite quick. Well, you know who comes in and saves the intro, though?
Rollins. Triple H, Rollins. Everyone else will carry the bloody torch for him.
Mm. And Rollins is still by far the best thing going on in WWE right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Just because not just because he's the world heavyweight champion, but he plays that heel role so well. And he is the man. He is the future. He's everything. And
he's the face. He's the man with the face with the knee that broke the face of the place.
That was very complicated.
But he did it. He did it.
Well, they announced to Survivor Series is the match is going to happen. Reigns versus Rollins. It's the first time they've probably faced off for the title since WrestleMania 31.
I agree. And let me ask you a question. And let me ask you a question as well, Sean. Will Roman Reigns walk away as the champion?
Sean, you can answer that one first.
No. He's not ready yet, and I don't think they're ready to give it to him yet. I think Rollins is going to keep it for till Mania, and then I think Reigns is going to have his moment there. I don't think he's winning the Rumble again, but I think somehow Reigns is going to get interjected into the title match, and then I think Reigns is going to defeat Rollins at Mania 32 and become champion there.
I can totally agree with you on that one, Sean. I think it's definitely what is best for business. Reigns getting thrown into the title is still too early. Even back when he won the Rumble, whatnot, that was still way too early.
Way too early.
Give him a mid-card title run, I reckon. Do something like that first before you strap the big one on him, sort of thing. And even though Rollins was sort of like at that same point when he turned on the Shield, he's molded into this thing that's just phenomenal. So Reigns, I don't think, is that type of guy, because he's been shoved down our throats like what Cena has. And that's why most of us are just like, oh, fuck, not another Roman Reigns promo. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I'm intrigued in the match. It should be good. Pow, what do you think of the upcoming match?
Yeah, Rollins is going to carry the match. Let's be honest, Roman Reigns is pretty boring in the ring.
He's not that boring. But,
I mean, he's getting a bit better, so we'll give him where credit's due. So hopefully he keeps up with the, you know, uphill battle that I've got against him. But
well, he's been putting on.
He's been getting a little bit better, so I'll give him that. We'll see what happens come Survivor Series.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, well, I can agree with that too.
But he's not winning. Simple.
Yeah. No, he's not going
to
win.
I wish people would understand that. He needs to work his journey to get there.
Mm.
I'm just sick of him being just put into that spot without the journey.
You know what I'm sick of, actually? I'm sick of WWE Creative and their brilliant plans of putting pay-per-view 5-star matches on as Raw. The main event on Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, the traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series match is supposed to be for Survivor Series. I mean, yeah, it's different, but why put it there on the main event of Raw?
And then you come to the pay-per-view and they're like, oh shit, we've already done all this.
Exactly.
Why are people not paying for it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I enjoyed the pay-per-view, the main event. So yes, I'm confused I am.
It was that good, it was the pay-per-view.
So, yeah, the authority announced 5-on-5. So, each captain, Reigns and Rollins, got to pick their team. We move on to Ziggler versus Owens. And that was a pretty good match. They both always put on a very good show. Halfway through, Summer Breeze rolls out. And, you know, sitting in their little VIP section. I hope they do something better with Breeze. What are your thoughts, Sean, so far on Breeze and his entrance into the main area of WWE?
I honestly think that they're just looking for something for Summer Rae, to be honest. She's on Total Divas and is not really doing anything ever since Rusev got engaged to Lana. And now I'm not discrediting Tyler Breeze. I'm a Tyler Breeze fan, but I really just think that they just wanted something for her to do instead of her just, like, not being around and stuff. And, like, she's hot. Maybe not the most attractive one.
Maybe with a paper bag over her head.
But, I think they just wanted to keep her on TV, and they were like, oh, why not bring in Tyler Breeze? I mean, why hasn't he wrestled yet? I mean, unless they're just going to save him for Survivor Series, for Ziggler? I don't know. I think he should have had a match by now. So far, it's not looking good for Tyler Breeze.
Well,
I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I just don't like the way he started off.
Mm. Yeah, no, I can agree with that too. Pow, what do you reckon?
Yeah, see, that's a good way of looking at it, but at the same time, think about, like, why couldn't Summer Rae go back to Dolph? He was giving her gifts and shit.
Yeah, booking is
confusing. I mean, they could have just made up some bullshit and have her go back with him. So I don't think they would have, you know, would have brought in Tyler Breeze just to help out her.
I would have preferred freaking Ziggler to turn heel and then join up with Breeze and be the pretty boys in the tag team division, because the tag team division is now slowly starting to die.
Slowly growing.
Well, it was growing, but it was stagnant for the last couple of weeks. It's been stagnant. You've had the Dudleys.
You've got the European Invasion Ultra.
Yeah.
You've got the Usos just returned. Spoiler alert. Dudley Boys are red hot. Don't know where they were tonight, but...
The Ascension.
yes!
That Stardust crew with those guys that wear face paint and... I don't know, what are they called? Road Warriors 2.0, whatever they're called.
They're called the greatest tag team on the planet.
Well, I'm not sure. I think you've got the wrong tag team, mate.
I'm pretty sure I don't.
You know, they're all these tag teams are starting to come together again.
Yeah.
It could be a lot better, yes, but it is still better than what it was.
But look at it for the last couple of pay-per-views. We've had two or three matches of Dudleys versus New Day over and over again, and like... The Dudleys still didn't win the titles. At the moment, the Dudleys, they're kind of still...
You know what? Put them at the back of the line. Mm. Have them pissed off, cutting promos. And now there's a few more tag teams. You can start getting them to putting those son bitches through tables.
Yeah.
Working their way back up to the title spot.
Yeah.
And then have them take the titles and be like, you know, we're not messing around anymore. We mean business.
Yeah, put some people over.
Shine them up real good. Mm. But put the son of a bitch through tables.
That's what they do best.
Exactly.
So, going back to what we were talking about.
Tyler Breeze is a guy. Not sure where it's going. Hopefully good. Hopefully Dolph Ziggler puts him over. But Dolph never wins, so that's going to be a given, which is good for Tyler Breeze. So.
Kevin Owens wins that match, obviously, with the interference by Breeze.
Pop-up powerbomb.
Yep, love that finisher. Owens is best for business as well right now, if I don't mind saying. Backstage, you see Seth Rollins pandering to Owens to try and get him in the match, promising him how awesome would it be?
WrestleMania,
Rollins versus Owens, title champ versus title. Honestly, that would be freaking amazing. I reckon those two in the ring would be awesome and put on an amazing show, but obviously they're just teasing us and that's what they do best. So Owens accepts the match. Then we get Becky Lynch talking.
Oh, hello. Oh, Becky Lynch. Hello. Hello. That promo was as hot, like cringeworthy. The acting was terrible.
I make no sense whatsoever. She's horrible. What do you think of Becky Lynch and what she's done so far being in this Diva Resolution?
Revolution,
Sean. What do you reckon she's done?
Well, the resolution is that the Diva's revolution.
She's been
sucks.
In the background, so there's no resolution for her. Yeah, sorry, go ahead, Sean. What do you reckon about Becky?
I gotta disagree with you guys. I actually liked her backstage interview. I thought it was actually really entertaining.
Really?
You know,
I see it from the entertaining side.
Bombish or anything like that, but it was just her being herself and. I think it gets a lot of crap just because she's, you can't understand her sometimes. Mm. I thought it was hysterical.
I understand her, but I see a lot of people...
I enjoyed it. Well, I mean, like I said, it wasn't, the promo of the year or anything, but I thought it was quite entertaining, and I've always been a fan of Becky Lynch. I gotta take that back. Ever since her and Banks at one of the NXT takeovers...
Oh my god, how good was that? Yeah, that match was just amazing.
That was unreal.
Mm.
I like Becky Lynch too, but I found since she's come to the main roster, they're kind of hindering her and making her kind of the quirky, weird, wacky one. And
they don't really
I don't know. I'm having trouble accepting who she is now because I feel like
I think it just needs some time, to be honest. I mean, yeah. I like that, seeing that in a girl like that, being like all quirky, but also being like a sassy kind of bee, she said. I enjoyed the interview, and then... Brie comes in and ruins it, and then... I don't know, I enjoyed it.
I like the fact that Brie came in and tried to ruin it, but then Becky still got one up on her, and Brie ended up leaving. That doesn't normally happen. Normally when someone interferes in an interview, that person gets the one up. But the fact that Brie didn't, I was actually pretty happy with that. So I agree with you on that aspect, yeah.
I just like taking the piss out of a voice. I don't have anything against Becky.
Oh, hello, I'm Becky Lynch.
I just like making the oh, hello, I'm Becky Lynch, hello. Just because it sounds funny. There's nothing against her, but hello. It's good. All right, so...
I'm mature enough to look past her voice.
Yeah, and look what's below that. Which is her
she
body.
Is a thing
she's
a hot,
beauty. She's a stunner.
God damn.
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 Slide that some bitch up, sweet ass, and stick it. Yeah, okay.
Let's get some beers up in this some bitch.
So the next match we had was Cesaro and The Miz, and what do you call him again? The Road Warriors 2.0, and that guy dressed up looking like a star was sitting in the crowd.
You mean
Team of the Century?
Team of the Century.
The ultimate tag team champions of all time.
Maybe on 2K16.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I won't pull the piss. I do like The Ascension. I like them a lot when they're on NXT. It's hard to like them now, but I really like the fact they've teamed up with Stardust because I like Stardust.
Mm.
So I do like that dynamic. So I'll give you some points for that. The Cosmic Wasteland.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Cosmic Wasteland.
Stardust just brings them down.
Yeah.
What?
Just brings them down.
Man.
He doesn't need that.
How high are you?
The Ascension.
You like in Nebraska.
If you can't tell, I'm trolling you guys. But
yeah, I know.
But I mean, like, yes, their NXT gimmick was awesome. The NXT run was awesome. I just think they just weren't booked properly, to be honest. They didn't need the face paint. They didn't need the shoulder pads because they're exactly like that. They're exactly seen as Road Warriors 2.0. Exactly. And that's the sad part.
They didn't need to go in up against the Acolytes, NWO, and New Age Outlaws on Raw 1000.
No, they did not need that whatsoever.
No, that killed them straight away.
It really did. It's really
It is totally creative. I
mean, look at the primetime players and the Usos, though. They took a long time to get to where they're at. I still have some faith in the Ascension, and I still like the character that the Ascension portrays, so I'm going to stay a fan of them. If you don't like it, deal with it.
We don't mind that you like it, man. We just like taking the piss out of you that you do.
I enjoy the banter.
The banter is good. It's always good to have a banter with a fellow wrestling
fan. Just a couple of lads having some banter.
Okay, so yeah, Cesaro pulls that one out and still wins, so that's pretty cool.
How many swings did he get on that guy? It was over 25.
It was
so good. Michael Cole lost count and he was just screaming, it's more than 25, it's gotta be more than 25.
I'm pretty sure I counted 25, but I don't know.
What did you think of Stardust with his periscope looking at the ring?
I can't talk bad about Stardust because he's the Ascension, so.
Favoritism. Whoever's with Ascension, Sean will actually like and can't say bad about.
This is true, except Nikki Bella.
Ooh.
We'll get to that.
I saw Nikki Bella talking to him backstage, man.
Oh, shit.
She's going to come out as the Cosmic Queen.
Now, I'm going to... I'm a Cosmic Queen. Wow.
I've just come up with an image. Oh my God, I've got to make that later.
This next part of the show is all you, pal, because the epic Bray Wyatt promo.
Oh my God.
Talk us through that, buddy.
God damn.
Talk us through it.
I have to say, it's probably one of Bray Wyatt's out of top three promos since he's been in the company. Now, I'm not sure if it's because I was invested because of who he's taken out, where it's Taker and Kane, but it was just so good, the way he delivered it, the way his presentation of this whole speech, and then the fact that he was talking about their bodies are now just worthless, basically carcasses, and he's taken the souls of these guys, and he's now got their thunder, lightning, and then, like, you know, you just saw the epic, you know, thunder, lightning,
and then the
fire. And then it went to the video of the Brothers of Destruction, the 25 years together of them teaming up. You saw variations of them together. It was really good. And then it kind of went into, it was goosebump worthy footage. And then it kind of went into a wormhole and disappeared, like it got sucked away. It was kind of almost saying this is their last ride tour, almost.
Mm.
And... It's gonna be very interesting to see how the next couple of Raws and just what's gonna happen with all these characters, because does Bray Wyatt and now is he gonna be like this mysterious power guy? You know, I don't know. What do you think, Sean?
I think Bray's promo was kind of what's it called? Like, I don't want to say a passing of the torch because it hasn't happened yet, but I think that's the character that's. The void they're trying to fill when Undertaker leaves. Yeah. They want another supernatural kind of character. So for Bray to say that I now have the power of, like, of The Undertaker or Kane or something similar to it, I think it's awesome. And very symbolic. I've been a Bray supporter since his first day in NXT. And I lost my thought where I was going. Paige just came on my screen.
Yeah, so you've been a big fan of Bray ever since he's come to NXT, and you're right, it does feel like a bit sort of like a passing of the torch. His powers have now gone into Bray Wyatt.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that I've been seeing a lot of hate on the page of Bray's promos. Oh, they all sound similar. Oh, they all...
I agree, I've heard the same thing.
But, like, it's his style. Like, Seth Rollins always talks about how he's the future. Roman Reigns talks about how he's going to overcome the odds and says baby and all that stuff. Paige says, oh, this is my house. Like,
yeah.
It's his style of promo. Like, it's okay if you don't like the style of promo, but, like, do you expect, like, a different style from a character each night? You want a bipolar character or something?
I agree. The thing that people, I've realized, is a lot of people don't actually listen to what he's saying. They hear him use these big words and the way he speaks. And
yes.
I think people kind of tune out, but you got to listen to what he's saying. I think a lot of people are simple-minded, and they just can't grasp the concept of what he's trying to say.
A lot of the people are, you know, PG freaking era.
Yeah, a lot
fans.
Of them are PG fans who don't really understand, like, anything, and half of them are kids, and a lot of, like, it seems like all the smart fans and the adults and stuff, they like it, they understand, but as you said, on the page, we either see the people who don't understand seem to be basically kids or stupid teenagers or foreign.
Mm.
And they've got no clue what's going on. They don't understand.
I've got a point to bring up when I can.
I think that
we've been so, I don't want to say desensitized, because I don't know if that's the right word, you know, but we've been seeing all these great matches, whether in WWE or Ring of Honor or
NXT.
Another promotion. And I feel like we just expect that every time we're on television and or we watch it. And we should see some good stuff, you know, but not everyone has a perfect match each night. I mean, why can't we still be fans of what we like? You know, some people like the Ascension for me, you know, but they're barely on.
Yeah.
But I still like the character and I still want to see them. And it's the same thing with, like, Emma, one of those underrated diva. We were talking about this last night. Like, one of the most underrated divas on the roster. She's on NXT, but she's barely on the main roster anymore. But we still want to see them. Maybe they're not putting on five-star matches, but they work at it, and then they become five-star matches. Are some people ahead of the game, like Rollins, Ambrose, Owens? Like, yes, but, like, why can't we still like what, like, characters appeal to us and stuff like that?
No.
That's my point.
I totally agree, man. Like, I mean, the whole Emma thing as well, too, just touching on that. I sent out a tweet to her today, and I was saying, you know, why the hell is she not featured on Breaking Ground? Why is she not... You know,
in the Divas Revolution.
In the Divas Revolution, she was there when Paige they faced off for the NXT Women's Championship for the first time. She's been forgotten about. Is it because she's Australian? Is it because she's not as competitive as what some of the others are? Are they overstepping her? I don't know. I'm more to the point of the fact that she's being held down, or she's getting passed by people that think that she's not good enough.
Well, she's trying to put over Dana Brooke, and
she is good enough.
Dana Brooke is shit compared to Emma. Emma's fantastic.
And, you know, like I've said this many times before, if Emma was the lead of an NXT stable with Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, the whole Australian female dominant team, that would...
Can you imagine how dominant that would be if they just laid out all the divas on NXT?
Exactly. And then Emma claims the title off Bayley or Alexa or whatever.
And then you can work that Nia Jax to come and try and destroy the Australians. She works her way through the other two Aussies, then finally gets to Emma. You know, it looks like she's going to destroy Emma, and then, you know, out of nowhere the Aussies team up again and just destroy her.
It'd be good
TV, good storytelling, and it'd be good development for Nia Jax as well. It would help all the divas out.
But they don't think like
that. And then eventually, once it's time for Emma to pass the torch, guess what you do with Emma? Surprise, guys, she goes back to Raw.
That's
what I want to say. With Bray on Raw, though, like, that was like a solidifying moment for him. That was like a defining moment for him.
Exactly,
that
yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, like, and he's been on the roster for a couple years now. So, like, it takes time for characters to find their right niche and find their right flow sometimes. Yeah. Others, it doesn't. So, I mean, like, can't we still like the other characters? I'm just saying
that. Oh, yeah, no. Right. I was just taking that as a point.
People expect too much sometimes, I feel like, anyway. I actually like that. People are like, oh, what? That match was terrible. Or, like, no, I thought it was pretty decent. Mm. I don't know. That's me, though.
Yeah.
Back to Raw.
I agree. I mean, just quickly add 2 points. One is that, like, Dean Ambrose is a guy. He hasn't really done much this year. So you're right, it does take a while for characters to do stuff. If you look back at it since probably when he dropped the US title, what has really Ambrose done?
Mm.
He hasn't really done much. He's just a guy who's there, puts on some good matches.
He had the Hell in a Cell match. He had the Hell in a Cell match, and then he had that one where he almost won the title.
Yeah, I mean, like,
so he had those couple moments. I mean, do they really mean anything?
Not really.
They just liked him more. They just made him more likable and stuff like that, and more you want to see him succeed. But other than that, yeah, he really has done nothing.
And the worst part was that was when Roman Reigns was out injured.
Mm.
So yes. You know why he got the spot when he did. And another thing I want to bring up is, yes, you brought up a good point about the we expect too much, we expect 5-star matches, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think on Raw, they need to stop giving us main event matches. And the wrestling quality, the guys need to slow down and sell more. I agree. I think they should start putting on good matches, but, you know, have some old school mentality in the matches and slow down. And then,
hand it to the crowd and stuff.
And then, like, yeah, the pay-per-views, then you pull out those special moves with good matches against people, because then it means more. But the fact you see it every week on Raw, again, you've made everyone just go expect more and more, because, you know, there's a glass ceiling. It's going to break.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good points. We've gone a bit off stray there, but that's okay, because they're important to talk about. So,
it's the 434 podcast. It's
exactly. We hashtag don't go off tangent, not...
hashtag we'll get to that.
The next match on Raw, going back to it, was the Lucha Dragons versus the European Ultra, King Barrett and Sheamus. And the Lucha Dragons won this one. I kind of didn't see much of it. I was cooking my dinner at the time. So did you see any of that match, Sean?
I did, actually. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It was decent. Surprised that the Lucha Dragons got the victory. I think Barrett deserves more. Not necessarily King of the Ring, but I think he should be with the mid-card title, like whether it's the United States title or like in the main event picture. I think he's very underrated, I feel. And the King of the Ring has done nothing for him. Lucha Dragons, though, I like them. I also don't like them at the same time. They ended my boys' reign down in NXT, but I guess I gotta respect them for that too. But I think that they're filling the void of Rey Mysterio nicely. Yeah. I'm excited for this team's future.
No, it's gonna be good. Speaking of that sort of area with Mexican, we roll over to Zeb Coulter and Alberto Del Rio with the old Mex America thing, which I think is absolutely stupid, in my opinion. Being an American yourself, Sean, what's your feelings on this storyline, the whole Mex America?
I find it very stupid.
Yeah.
Zeb Coulter, who talked so much crap about Alberto Del Rio, is now saying that we need to come together and stuff.
Americans,
and now, like, disregarding
Mexicans.
Jack Swagger. Like, okay.
Need to be one.
As soon as I saw Swagger come in and then Alberto Del Rio, I was like, they're fighting at Survivor Series and that's going to be my piss break.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping Swagger...
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm hoping Swagger does a bit more because he hasn't had a lot lately. So, you know, even feuding with Alberto for a few months might do him some good. He's never going to be a headline act or anything like that.
They're not going to feud for a few months. No, they're going to have the one. They're going to have the one match of Survivor Series, and Jack Swagger's going to go back into obscurity again.
Give him a run in NXT. See how he goes there.
You realize he's bigger than everyone.
Yeah,
the dude's a beast.
I only enjoyed Swagger during his feud in ECW with Christian.
Yeah,
that was my favorite. That was my favorite run with Swagger. I really hadn't. I was never one for We the People. I was never one for his run with Cesaro. I don't know. I just... Swagger's just boring to me.
Okay, so, yeah, that's what it's looking like, the match at Survivor Series. So we'll see how that one turns out. We go forward again, and One of the highlights of the night, Rollins approaches Big E and Kofi Kingston. The New Day, yes it is. They offer to help, but they still need one more person. And lo and behold,
Unicorn Magic!
Unicorn Magic brings in Xavier Woods back.
Xavier Woods!
The savior, Xavier!
the power of positivity!
Yes, it is. So they're always great on TV. I love what they do. Hopefully, we get more New Day. So they get added to the match. We still don't know at this point who's in Reigns' team. So we'll find that out a bit later. But then we've got Sasha Banks, Paige, Brie Bella and Becky. And that Fatal 4-Way match. I was rooting for Sasha on that one. At the end of the day, we kind of figured with the storyline, the way things are going, I knew Paige was going to pull this one out. Did any of you boys catch this match at all?
I did.
Yeah.
I wanted anyone but Brie.
Yeah. Brie mode!
I cannot. Oh, I hate that song.
Come on, Nikki.
I had a feeling. Not a feeling. I mean, it's basically from what the storyline was that Paige was going to win. But there were a couple times though, like with Becky and with Sasha, that I was like, whoa, are they going to get it?
Mm.
Which is what I look for in a match. I like those kind of things. Like, wait, no way. And then Paige comes in, delivers the rampage to Becky and for the victory. And I was like, okay. I liked the match a lot.
Mm. I'm just glad there isn't going to be another, what do you call them? Bella freaking title match or them. They should not be in the titles at all, in my opinion. They don't need to be there. Just because...
And notice there was no Nikki Bella and we had a good Divas match.
Yeah, go figure. I think that's probably because she's too busy with Cena at this point in time with his time off.
Her broken neck. What's up with her neck? I saw a picture of her on Twitter with it.
A picture of Twitter with her with a broken neck?
Or Instagram, someone one of those. She has like a neck brace on. Yeah. Did she hurt her neck?
Yeah, we're going to get that to later, so hashtag we'll get to that.
Okay.
Hashtag that.
Yeah, personally, I thought the match was pretty good. It even got a This Is Awesome chant. Did you see the powerbomb double suplex off the turnbuckle?
Yes, I did. That was awesome.
It was a few good spots.
You don't see that too much in Divas matches because you barely get multiple women in the matches.
It was probably one of the Raw's better Fatal 4-Ways for a Divas match. I was quite happy with it. It reminded me of the Fatal 4-Way they had on NXT.
Yes,
I just thought it was really good.
It wasn't as good as it.
Oh no! But it was, you know, you just change a cup, you change Brie and put someone else in. You know, it would have been good.
Absolutely.
Mm. So I'm hoping that it's on the up and up and keeps progressing because it was definitely a step into the right direction.
I agree.
We move on to the main events, and the main event itself. With the New Day, Owens and Rollins taking on Team Reigns. Before we unveil who was in that team, the funniest part of Raw being the New Day rocking out to Rollins and Owens theme songs. It's always great seeing them doing that stuff.
I just noticed that rewatching it last night. I didn't notice they did that. I was laughing hysterically.
We need more. We need more of that. So yeah, that was good. They almost pulled a Eric Rowan on us and brought the Usos back. So we got them back now that I don't know which one it was. One of the twins, Jey Uso, got his shoulder fixed, so he's back. He's nearly a year out or something like that, I've been told. So, and then we get...
half a year, WrestleMania.
Yeah. Then we get the super and powerful Ryback. And the lunatic fringe himself in Dean Ambrose. So that sets up Reigns' team. Quite a good match. Enjoyable. Lots of good spots. Bit of intrigue. You know, the Survivor Series type matches are always exciting. Just thinking back to last year's one with Ziggler being the last man standing out of all of that. That was intense seeing that replay through Raw.
Did you guys like how the fact they never mentioned Sting?
Mm.
Sting was the man that held Dolph Ziggler.
Chris,
a year ago.
I was just about to mention that. Like,
there was no
mention at all.
No.
Did he just get deleted from the history already?
What has he done?
Exactly.
You broke your neck. You've forgotten about.
Yeah.
So,
did he ever race his tyrant backstage or a sex tape?
Oh, shit. But at the end of the day, it was Reigns and Ambrose against Rollins by himself. So, being the good heel champion that he is, what does he do? Grabs the chair. And Team Ambrose...
I was happy with Team that, Rollins, actually.
Team Rollins loses. I was happy that it ended that way. It still keeps him...
It still protects him because you don't want him to have a clean loss against him.
Yeah, especially against his old Shield buddies. I mean, if I
was 2 vs 1, you goddamn right I'm grabbing a chair.
I'll get fucking 5.
He should have just gone mad crazy and just started swinging the crap just constantly and then like run away with the title. Because then you look good, they look weak.
So, yeah, that finished off Raw, really. So, all in all...
out of 5, what did you guys rate?
I'd give it a 3.5. Sean, what do you reckon, buddy? Out of 5.
I was about to say, 3.5 out of 10? It's like, shit.
No, 3.5 out of 5.
Like, oh, damn. Wow, damn. You're... I would give it... I'm going to give it a 3.75.
We're going with the decimals again. Ooh. Hashtag Jezebel's at it again. The decimals.
I didn't know we could go decimals.
We can do. We can do. What did you reckon, buddy?
I reckon it's 3.5.
Yeah.
It was good.
So it was like a C plus.
It was a little bit
B minus.
Better than average.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cool.
Better than lately because last couple of episodes have been like about a 2.
Mm.
So.
Mm. So yeah, no, that was Raw. It was quite good, but I think it's time for this one. Oh, it's time for the I'll get it right. Chats and tweets. So every week we ask you to send us in some goddamn Celeste Bonin. don't send Celeste Bonin. I just got a picture and I'm drooling. So what have you got? Yeah, it's all Nick's. It's Nick's fault. Tweets and chats, you send us in your stuff, we answer your questions. So, pal, what have we got? We got anything yet?
No? We can answer the first question.
Yeah, sweet.
They sent in by hashtag Jezebel.
Cool, hashtag Jezebel. Now,
she's got a question for us. Apparently it was to do with the question last week, but I don't remember reading it. So she thought it would be good to bring her back up. She wants to know, what animal would you like to see Brock Lesnar wrestle?
What animal would you like to see Brock Lesnar wrestle?
She's got 2, so that's the first question.
All right. Sean?
We'll start with you, Sean.
Sean, what do you reckon, buddy?
What animal do I want to see Brock Lesnar wrestle?
Yeah.
If you could pick one.
Oh, God. Celeste.
Oh, that's funny.
Good answer. What about you, Box?
I'd like him to... It'd have to be a bear.
Yeah.
That's a pretty given one. Or a polar bear. Or a shark.
A panda. That, I mean, what else could Brock Lesnar wrestle?
Yeah, a panda bear?
To be honest.
Yeah, that's... thanks for that. That was intriguing.
That's probably why I didn't answer it last week.
Yeah, it was like, yay, let's talk about it.
But here we go. She's got a proper question. Obviously, that wasn't even hers. She was just reminding us.
Mm-hmm.
This is the proper question from Jess. If you could ask Vince McMahon any one question, be it taboo, e.g. about Chris Benoit or CM Punk, or about the current roster and issues and rating, what question would you ask Vince and why?
Take it away, Sean.
What question would I ask Vince and why?
Yeah.
Any question in the world you're allowed to ask him.
When are you going to retire?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
That's pretty.
Or
that's
when are you gonna fire Kevin Dunn?
When I die, damn it!
When?
Just because I think that he has to. He's not letting Triple H. He's not seeing Triple H's idea. I think of what he has for in store for the future. I think he's still stuck in the 80s, 90s mindset, maybe early 2000s mindset. And the truth is that the time has changed and. Those fans have grown up and we have a new set of fans and so we've seen that and like with they need to adapt and like times need to change and that change feels like it's coming but like
it still feels so far away
finally see it and finally go on with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, okay. Totally. I would say one thing to Vince and that would be, why did you make all the WWE superstars so much better and higher? Like, why couldn't you make a proper pay-per-view when it was the invasion. The WCW, ECW era, when they come in, it was all WWE just pretty much destroyed them.
I think it was ego.
Yeah, I think it was ego as well. And, it, you know, I've just destroyed the my competition and I'm going to destroy him in my own company. I would have preferred...
That's why a lot of the big guys never came, because they knew they were like,
exactly.
Fuck this.
Like Goldberg and Sting, they could have been in there a hell of a lot earlier, but ego just killed it. So my question would be, why is your ego so fucking huge? Why can't you just see the bigger picture instead of your own face? I just don't get it.
Because he has balls the size of grapefruits.
Yeah, exactly. He's a genius, yes, but... Sometimes he's
I don't discredit Vince McMahon's genius, but just the times have changed.
Yeah.
It's been a changing of the guard. But I trust Triple H's vision for the future. So.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
We got another question sent in by hashtag Chiquito.
Oh, Chiquito.
One of our former special guests as well, Monty.
Monty, yeah.
He's got a good question today. I'm going to start with you, Box.
He's not the lolly, but he likes to be sucked. Go for it.
If you think Reigns is shit, what would you have him say or do to legitimize him? Heel, face, character change, build. Explain your answer.
What would I do differently with Reigns? Well, first of all, I wouldn't force him into the WWE World Heavyweight title picture for one. I would have him feud with the likes of Sheamus and King Barrett and Rusev and Owens for a mid-card title. Bring him up that way. You know, just how, like how the Stone Cold used to get brought up. He came through the European title. It was a $1 million championship when he was with Ted DiBiase, the Ringmaster, all that sort of stuff. He built his way up and made his legacy.
RC title.
Yeah, all of that. Same as The Rock. Same as Triple H. Yeah. They all went through all of that.
Kurt Angle.
Instead of just throwing him...
Chris Jericho, Edge.
Yep.
Everyone had a story.
Instead of just throwing him into the title picture, build him up. Give him a bit more character. Let him... I mean, not just feud with the best bad guys they have there. Feud with all of them. You know, give him that option to do other things instead of just, I'm coming for the World Heavyweight title, rah, rah, rah.
You know? Baby girl.
Oh, it's pathetic. Sean, what do you reckon, buddy?
I agree. He needs a proper story. He needs a proper build-up instead of just like, oh, he's with the Shield and they had great matches, so he deserves the World Heavyweight title.
He's the big guy.
Like, that's why I feel like Ambrose, in time, is going to succeed. Once they give him the ball or the title, whatever saying you want, he's going to run with it, and we're going to get a resurgence of that, and they're going to see, oh, wow, like, why isn't Roman getting that kind of reaction?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just thrusting him in. Ambrose is building a story. Like, look at his feud with Wyatt. It's actually playing on my TV right now. They're, like, Survivor Series promo.
Yep.
The story's building up. Like, oh, remember that feud he had with Bray Wyatt? I mean, they're two of my favorites, so I remember it. But, you gotta build up story. Like, oh, and he's never been champion before, and he's got that history with Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Like, Roman Reigns, all Roman Reigns has done is has the history with the Shield, and then won the Rumble and lost to Lesnar at WrestleMania. While Ambrose has been having, like, decent rivalries in the mid-card and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what Brent said. Like, it's building up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brought up something really interesting that I remembered. Do you guys remember Ambrose's special speech on Raw? When he was chasing for the IC Championship and he said he wanted his name on the wall?
Yeah.
That still stuck with me. Because he wanted to have his name and face plastered with the greats.
Mm-hmm.
But what's Roman doing? You know, it's the same thing. It's just, there's no build to him at all.
Yeah.
He's just some dude who comes out to the Shield music, still wearing Shield gear, who thinks he's in the Shield.
He looks the part, he just doesn't fit the part.
Yeah.
And that's the issue with Reigns, so, yeah.
We're going to go through some quick hits questions. So just... you guys answer them as quick as possible because we've got a fair few to knock out.
Stop moving, Sean.
You guys ready?
Yep, go for it.
Jordan Bolton wants to know, who do you think is the worst used superstar on the main roster in terms of their talent push ratio?
Okay, Sean, go for it.
What was the question?
The question was...
Who do you think is the worst used superstar on the main roster in terms of their talent push ratio? ratio.
Who's the worst main roster star?
Who is the worst used superstar on the main roster at the moment in terms of their talent and their push ratio?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. The worst new superstar?
The worst used. We'll get there, people.
Used, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
God damn it,
bro. We gotta love the internet.
Is might be biased, but the Ascension.
Yeah.
They were such a dominant tag team in NXT, and they, like, yeah, were they did mostly jobber matches and stuff like that, but when they defended their titles and stuff, they put on great matches. And, like, all of a sudden they decide to give them face paint and shoulder pads and make them look like Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
That was such a stupid move, and then nobody wants to see them, and then they have the Legends come in and destroy them. Remember, they got victories. They have a victory over New Age Outlaws. It's not really, well, in this day and age, not in their prime, but, like, they tried to build them up, and then they just made them look way too much like Legion of Doom, and the fans don't want to see that.
Yeah, backfire.
I want to see it. I like the Legion of Doom. I like that kind of tag team wrestling. I just got into a debate with someone on the page about this. I forgot what post it was, but you can find it. It's like, I just like that kind of style of wrestling. I don't need technical wrestling in tag team matches. I like the brawler style, whether it's Legion of Doom, Demolition, stuff like that. I like that stuff. So the Ascension reminds me of that kind of wrestling. And I also like the dark character that they portray, like that, Bray, Undertaker. I prefer those kind of characters. So to see them do that kind of stuff, I like that. So I want to say that they're the worst used.
Okay. No, that's a fair point. I would say there's three different superstars that I think are being misused, because there's a lot of them. First one, King Barrett. Obviously, King of the Ring, they've kind of screwed him around. Now that he's in the tag division, something might happen for him this time.
He wanted to go tag division, so he's probably put that out.
Yep.
And he's getting victories now.
Yep, which is good.
I mean, apart from this Raw, but...
Yeah. The other guy that's a bit misused, Cesaro. Push Cesaro, goddammit. He is an amazing talent, and he puts on perfect performance. Shut up, Sean. there's a reason why we call you the 434 a-hole. he just mimicked me. The other guy that will come to you as a surprise, even though he's maybe a bit past his prime, R-Truth. I reckon...
He's awesome.
He is awesome. I mean, you go back to the days where he was the NWA TNA champion against AJ Styles. Won that match, and he put on a great show, and he can still do that. I could see him feuding with the likes of Rollins and Ambrose and stuff like that and still be entertaining and put on good matches.
He could keep up with them on the mic. He could keep up with them in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's better than Alberto Del Rio. Like,
yeah.
Personally, I've always liked R-Truth.
But all wish they he was see in a better a, spot. All they see him as is a comedic joke. Yeah. Or, I mean, I don't know what his personal life is like. Maybe he...
It's hectic. He's got a lot of kids. He's forgotten how old half of them are.
He's quite busy. So I can understand that might be partly the reason why he's not always... He's in the position he's in. But preferably, I would have loved to him have a great run. I mean, he had that match at Capital Punishment against Cena. And yeah, it was hysterical and stuff, and talking to little Jimmy. But at the same time,
that was so good.
I still, it was one pay per view, and that was it. And he's shoved back down to nowhere.
What about when he was smoking?
He was United States champion, right?
No, he was. He never. I don't think
he wasn't.
No,
he's been US champ.
We have to research that. I don't think he's.
I thought he got a US title.
Yeah, he has.
We'll find that out. Hashtag. We'll get to that. I reckon he would have. Actually, no, I think he did. I think he was. Was he ever? We're checking that out. Google is the greatest. I think he beat The Miz, maybe. I don't know.
Because I was going to say, that's the highest thing he's achieved. Well, wait, he was tag team champion too, I think.
Yeah, he beat The Miz.
Yeah, he won the title.
And then I think Cesaro took it off him. Cesaro or Swagger, one of those guys. But yeah, no, Miz, freaking, it's because he's on the screen.
Miz.
R-Truth.
Don't bring that douche here.
No. No, God, no. R-Truth is probably the one I would pick out of all of them that could have been used a hell of a lot better.
Little Jimmy!
So, yeah, no, that was a good question, Jordan. Thanks thanks for that one. What else have we got, pal?
Okay, this we're going to go with Jovan Providov. How do you think WWE can bring back the fans? Obviously, fans is turning off. How do we bring them back?
How do we bring them back, Sean? What do you reckon, buddy?
We bring them back with something they wouldn't expect.
Mm-hmm. What would your suggestion be?
Something similar to, say, the Nexus, when the Nexus just debuted on Raw and destroyed Cena.
But how are the fans going to come back if they're not already watching?
That was talked about for months afterwards. My friends who don't watch wrestling were hitting me up. They're like, what happened to John Cena?
Oh.
So maybe...
They thought it was like something legit happened. And that's how, like, I mean, they didn't realize that it was, like, other wrestlers and stuff. They just saw that. They just heard that, like, people jumped the ring and Cena got destroyed.
I love the word of mouth.
Young guys
changes.
That came in from, like, the developmental area and they just destroyed Cena in the ring. They're like, whoa, that's awesome. Like, I was like, yeah, it was actually pretty cool because you didn't expect something like that. They got to do something like that instead of, like, okay, we're expecting Rollins to beat his opponent and then run away from the ring or get out of it squirreling somehow. And then we're expecting Reigns to become champion again.
Yeah.
If you just gave the title, imagine if they gave the title to Bray somehow.
Yeah.
It wouldn't happen against Rollins, but imagine if he just got the title and the Wyatt family just grew bigger like that. Like, oh, why is the Wyatt family so, well, Bray Wyatt, the leader, is the champion. Wait, what?
Yeah, oh, man,
you don't expect him to be champion. You expect someone of, like, a guy of Rollins mold or Reigns mold to be champion.
Well, just look at.
Do you know what you just got me thinking?
They got to do something eye popping. Like, what?
Yeah. Do you know what you just got me thinking?
We could have a whole other debate on what we could do with it to, like, help that. But I'm just saying that's how I answer the question. We need to do something shocking.
Think about this, Sean. Okay, so Roman Reigns beat Bray Wyatt in this feud, right? Let's say down 6 months to a year, whatever, when Roman Reigns becomes the champion, you could have Bray Wyatt revisit this and come back to him. Guess what? He's got the Wyatt family. Maybe by then the Ascension have dropped the shoulder pads and stuff, and they're almost like the new acolytes. They work for Bray Wyatt, and just somehow they demolish and kill Reigns. He's now the champion, Bray Wyatt.
They kill him, legitimately.
You know what I mean? They sacrifice him, whatever.
You're trying to rehash the old...
Oh, man, how good would it be? And then Bray Wyatt's the champion. That would have people who weren't watching tuning in. They'd be like, holy shit, Roman Reigns got killed by all these guys.
Oh, wow, that's a rehash. But
fantasy booking 101.
Compare Bray Wyatt to, like, the Manson family. So, if you see that on the news, oh, the top guy in WWE is the leader of a cult group who, like, consider himself a god and stuff like that, it's different than saying, like, oh, just some badass Samoan or just some...
some badass Samoan,
like,
with some...
You know what I'm saying.
Tattoos,
you know
what I'm saying.
They need to do something...
Body armor.
That's against the grain and is like, wait, what? I have to see this.
Yeah.
Like, exactly with the Nexus did. That was the last, like, real shocking moment that I think, anyways. Well, I mean, we could go back and forth about this, but, like, that's the closest thing that I can recall that people were like,
Nexus
who were not wrestling
fans,
were saying to me, like, what is going on?
Cool. Awesome. Next question.
Charlie Jones sends in the question. Does Bo Dallas have a chance of becoming Push Superstar of the future? We'll go with you, Box.
I can answer that. All he has to do is believe! And that's it. He just has to believe, and he'll... No, he won't go anywhere. He's doing all right for...
He needs to grow a beard, change his white trunks...
And join the family.
Join his brother.
Exactly.
He's a long
lost
sheep.
That's what we want, WWE. That's what we want.
What do you think,
Sean? Where's Bo Dallas going to go? Sean?
What's the question?
Where's Bo Dallas going to go? Is he going to be pushed for the future?
I honestly don't know. Bo seems to be... Well, he wasn't used this past Monday, but he was used on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
But he's gonna be... I think he's going to be, like, the next Santino, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like, coming in, and he'll still wrestle and stuff, but he's going to mess with people, like... going to mess with Ambrose. All you gotta do, Dean, is believe. And actually, now Dean hits him with dirty deeds.
Yeah.
Or Roman fears him. Like, he's gonna, I think he's gonna be like that.
He's gonna wear one of those shirts.
He gets a reaction from his lame jokes and stuff like that. I mean, I find Bo hysterical. But, yeah. Like, I really don't see him becoming a, I don't see him being a future World Heavyweight Champion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe an Intercontinental Champion. I don't, I think that might be push it too, well, but I think he's just gonna be the next comedy character, to be honest.
I never saw Curtis Axel as an Intercontinental Champion, and that happened. So you never know.
Oh God, don't remind me of that.
You never know what's gonna happen. Yeah. I think we've got maybe one more question.
Yeah, we got one left. Was the fight we'll finish this up one up with Charlie Jones. Oh, sorry.
You just read Charlie's. I mean, he doesn't get two.
Yagyesh Singh. When would Ambrose get his well-deserved push to the world title picture?
Sean, you want to answer that, buddy? When will...
When is Ambrose going to get put in the title picture?
Yep.
I think Ambrose is winning the Rumble.
I'm fully on board with that one, my
friend.
I
hope so, yeah, that'd be great. Let's hope Royal Rumble.
I'm not saying I would want that, but I actually think he's going to get it this year.
Yeah.
I think Roman's going to... I think they may go with...
I think they might do Shield Triple Threat.
They may go with... No, I think it's going to be Roman and Dean are going to be the final two. And I think that somehow Dean's going to pull some kind of heel move, and that might be his heel turn there. Like, say Roman's going to eliminate him, then Dean just, like, kicks him in the nads and then throws him over. I think we could see that.
Oh, my God. The crowd would go nuts. It'd be awesome.
Mm. Awesome. Thanks, guys, for your...
And then you get a heel, Ambrose. You get a heel, Reigns.
Oh, you're still talking. Jeez. We can't shut this American up.
And if that sets up Reigns as title reign, I'm fine with that story.
See? You can hear? Sean, when you listen back to this podcast, you're going to hate my guts. Oh, shit. Thanks, guys, for your comments and your questions there. It was
unfortunately, we couldn't get to all of them, but there was just so many, but thank you.
Yep, no. Hopefully, we'll get to some more next week. Now we've got a new segment. Considering the fact that we had Undertaker debuting 25 years ago and we're celebrating 25 years since that, obviously... we're going to talk about each person's favourite Undertaker match. So what I'm going to do is I'll throw the intro in and we'll get to it. Probably one of the best. Dead man. American badass, as they say. That was sick. I wanted to play it more, that's why I turned it up. Undertaker was absolutely phenomenal in the last 25 years. The best match that we're going to talk about first. I think Sean has one for us. What was your favourite Undertaker match, Sean?
Favorite Undertaker match? Very hard, because I'm a huge Taker fan and I love almost all of his work.
It's been a lot of them.
We were talking about earlier, I gotta say, because I can't think of one from his current run or the past couple years because there's too many, so I'm gonna go old school WrestleMania 14 against Kane, the first meeting between them. I just loved that, the story they told in that match. It wasn't a technical masterpiece by any means, but it was two seven-footers, athletic seven-footers, and they were just beating the hell out of each other. And it took Undertaker like three tombstones to put him away. That had never happened before. I'm pretty sure they said that. I mean, I hadn't watched Raw. I mean, I'd watched some Raws and stuff, but like they said that no one's ever kicked out of the tombstone before that. And if that is true, that's awesome to say. It took three to put Kane away.
Yeah.
I think it built up Kane very much, and I think it just told an awesome story, especially for the streak and stuff. So I have to say that match.
Definitely phenomenal. Power, do you have a highlighting Undertaker match that resonates with you?
As Sean mentioned, there's just so many, it's very hard to pinpoint a specific match, but one match that stands out that I really enjoy was probably WrestleMania 25, when good old HBK and God vs. the Demon, the Undertaker from Hell. This is a phenomenal match, and you know, led to a great series of two, obviously, but it was really, really good.
Yeah.
It was those matches that you realise, like, the streak would end. And I almost believed it would end against HBK. It was so good.
That was that time where Deuce or Domino, one of them, was supposed to catch Taker from the turnbuckle. He was the cameraman, but he dropped him on Taker's head. Remember that? That was at 25.
Yeah, I remember the cameraman. Was that a...
That was Deuce or Domino, one of the tag team guys.
Oh, you finally know some...
It was Deuce, yeah.
I didn't even know that.
He was Jimmy...
Domino was Cliff Compton.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
He was gone from the company by then.
Yeah, no, Deuce, which was Jimmy Fly Snooker's family member, son or something like that.
He turned into Snooker's son or something, but he's like his adopted son or something.
Yeah. So
I had to do some Domino. And they were just like, let's just use him for this.
Yeah, there you go. There's a photo there.
Yeah, he fucking sucked.
we just brought a photo up of that picture, that moment, and yeah, that's him right there. He fucking sucked.
that was scary, man. I really thought Taker
almost broke his neck
break his neck. I was so scared.
Yeah.
That was cringeworthy.
Because that was it wasn't Taker's fault. It was a perfect leap over.
No, I know. I'm just saying that it was just like, because you saw it. Like, they showed multiple angles and stuff, but they saw him dive onto the ground. And I don't think he did the dive ever since then, right?
No.
Was that the last time he's done it? I mean,
that fucked Taker up.
I would have to say the best Taker match that I've ever saw from the boxer's point of view would have to be the Hell in a Cell WrestleMania. Triple H versus Undertaker with Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee. When Shawn hit that sweet chin music and Triple H ended up doing the pedigree, I was on the edge of my seat thinking, this is it. This is actually going to happen. He's going to lose. And he kicked out. I freaked the hell out. It was probably the best match I've seen out of both of those two. And it by far was the best match. He actually did the jump over the ropes again, as we've just been picked up by the power. Good research. Oh, WrestleMania 27, I think. Yeah. No, 28, sorry.
Yeah, so he's done 28?
Is that the Hell in a Cell he did it?
No, that was...
it was 27. Yeah, he's...
I'll say, how'd that work out for
him? Yeah, Triple H is on the outside near the announce tables, and he's did it. So he has done it since, so just wanted to clear that up.
But yeah, no, definitely that match resonates with me a lot, because It
End of an Era. End of an Era was awesome. Like, that was a great match, you know, but I just couldn't decide between that, Pow's Choice, 26.
There's so many.
WrestleMania 29 against Punk, I was there. I saw it live. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many from the past, past years and stuff like that, that it was just too hard for me to pick, so I just went with the first Taker match that really, influenced me and really I enjoyed it. I had to be,
it's just a great Kane match Taker as 14, well.
But I had, like, my second one would have been End of an Era. If I had to pick one from the past 5 years, definitely End of an Era.
WrestleMania 14 in general was really good, though.
Yeah, that was the first time they faced off the brothers. So
yeah, I just that's my favorite version of Kane too.
Yeah,
I think that's everybody's favorite version of Kane.
I think so too. But
all right.
I guess because it's the original. And the best song, too. Best Kane song.
Yeah. Everything with Kane was awesome back then.
Absolutely.
All right. So that wraps up that part of the segment. We've got another new segment coming up very, very... Well, actually, no. It's going to come up right now. We're going to start playing the intro, and we'll fill you in a bit more of it in a sec. I'm making you go away. Time for Power's Quick Hits.
Alright, guys. Hashtag, we'll get to that. We're here. We're finally here. And today we're talking about Nikki Bella. Surprise, surprise.
Your favourite, Sean.
Damn it to hell.
We thought we'd save this part for you, my friend, seeing how much you love Nikki Bella.
So you brought up the fact Nikki Bella announced on Instagram she's currently rehabbing her neck. No timeline was given, and she's no idea when she's expected to return.
Never.
Well, that's what you hope. So who knows, guys? Maybe that will happen.
Shit.
We got another interesting story. The superstar Billy Graham signs a new Legends contract.
What?
Yep, announced to his Facebook fans around the world that he's thrilled to report that him and Triple H came to an agreement on the telephone, and he's offered a new Legends contract. And of course, he said yes. So he's proud to announce that and let everyone know.
What's he going
to
do?
Exactly, I was going to say, what the hell is Stupid Old Billy Graham going to do?
He's going to be a guest announcer on the retro Monday Night Raw?
I'm not really sure what's going to happen.
Bring back Jesse the Body.
He will not appear because Vince has to pay him. That's why no footage was ever used of him, because he sued Vince McMahon and won.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fun facts for everyone to know. That's why we don't see any Jesse Ventura anything anymore.
See Triple H. Look at him. He's like building all these bridges back up. Yeah. Warrior, Sting, Bruno. Like, he's best for business.
Soon he'll be Hogan.
Oh, God.
Oh, God, no.
All right, what else we got, pal? I'm done with Hogan. What else we got?
Pardon me.
Sorry, the pal's a bit crook, so he's fighting hard for you for us tonight.
That's it.
God damn it, pal.
God damn. Goldust says he's returning soon, and he started to tease his return to WWE television on Twitter. So he's coming back very soon, and then he got into a bit of a Twitter fight with Kevin Owens.
Bit of Twitter exchange.
So that was interesting. That was pretty good. Got a lot of steam online. A lot of people were enjoying that.
What did they say to be?
I don't have it in front of me right now.
I think
Goldust was teasing him about the title would look good on him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Owens said something like, "Oh, it's fine where it is. Thank you very much."
I love how Owens just like blasé, just bang straight to the point. He's good on Twitter.
He's blunt
and yeah. Honest. It's great. We need more of it.
Sasha Banks also went on Twitter to kind of lobby another match between her and Bayley. She sent out a message to Sasha saying, "The struggle is real, Bayley. I need my title back." And then Bayley, you know, returned with "Where shall we meet next?" Because she then posted a video of The Rock just bring it. So that should be interesting.
That's awesome.
If they could have another fight, would you guys like to see it in London or what?
I'd love to see it in London. I reckon that'd finish off their feud.
I'd be down for a third fight. I mean,
three stages of hell.
I was just about to say, what would be next for them? Because they've already done Iron Steel Cage.
Oh, no, that'd be NXT.
Would that be too violent against WWE's PG rating, though?
Nah,
NXT, they could probably do it.
I'd be down for that.
I think NXT would do it.
NXT would do it because...
Especially UFC, when Ronda Rousey...
No one would watch
that. Would that be the first steel cage match in NXT history, too?
Yes.
Yeah, it would, too.
Wow.
That would be epic.
That would be sick.
You should
Trips, book it.
Tweet that. Hashtag tweet that to Trips.
Tweet to Trips. Steel cage match.
Also, yeah, Daniel...
Like, listen to us.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan teased on Twitter he'd be making a big announcement very soon. Unfortunately, he uploaded a picture of him in India with a red dot on his forehead saying he got flowers and more upon my arrival in India. We're making a big announcement for tomorrow.
Let me guess. They're going to be in India. And they're going to see all their John Cena fans. We want the John Cena. John Cena number one. Sorry, guys.
Screw Seth Rollins.
All he does is cheat.
We're not. Any other news?
We're finishing quick hits with Dolph Ziggler. Who said something very controversial during a Q&A session, and he mentioned that wrestling is the least important thing about the wrestling business in the WWE.
Wow, that is never a truer word spoken from what we've seen lately.
And a lot of fans have, a lot of them agreed, a lot of them are sad that he admitted that. And why? Said a lot of people are saying it's a sad state of wrestling.
Well, it's the truth. They can't handle the truth.
The truth hurts.
The truth does hurt. And
our truth hurts when he hits you.
People really need to get over that. The whole fact. The wrestling business in WWE is dead. And, yeah.
I just think wrestling's coming to an end.
No. That's not true at all. I think it's Dolph's background. Yeah. Dolph was a prominent collegiate wrestler. And also, he was a fan of the business and wanted to get into it, too. But I think he means that, like, all like you can be have any athletic background and you can come in. And as long as you can do the stuff and take the bumps, you're in that. So I think – I don't think he means that, like – I think he means, like, the Greco-Roman wrestling is the least most important thing.
Yeah.
I think, like, as long, I mean, so I agree in some sense, but I also see WWE and other professional wrestling promotions as exactly that, professional wrestling, not like Greco-Roman, where they just fight for points or wrestle for points, and then it's like a sport too. Yeah. Like they play for. Kevin Owens said it best on Unfiltered with Renee Young. I forgot what he said, but he said something along the lines like, "They're playing a game and that changes nothing."
Yeah.
While WWE doesn't have an off season, WWE just keeps going and tells stories. And I need a story. But I mean, I also like UFC though too. But I need a story. I can't just watch. I'll watch a game in like a bar and stuff like that. I will do that. But like, I don't go out of my way to watch a football game or a baseball game. I don't do that.
The story is definitely always a good thing.
But I just. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm intrigued in that. Like, oh, I want to see Ambrose get the belt. Ambrose is such a cool character. I want to see him become champion. Stuff like that.
Or
like
you want to be on the journey with him.
Rusev, the anti-American. I want to see him get his get come his up. And lose and stuff. I want to see him get brought back to reality.
Ruru.
Oh,
you God. Know it.
You know it.
But like, I sort of agree with Dolph. But on the other hand, like, I don't. I think he means like that collegiate wrestling, like a wrestling background.
Well, he mentioned in WWE.
I don't think he means the actual wrestling aspect in the ring necessarily. Yeah. But I think a lot of people have taken that. Out of context, exactly. Thank you, Pat.
And that was the quick hits, and they'll be coming to you each and every week. Give me a hell yeah! I
said give me a hell yeah! Awesome. Well, I think we're just about done. We've got two more little things to get through. Firstly, I want to just throw to something that we've just shared on our page as recently before. And that would have to be the Grammar Slam by our old favourite, CM Punk. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play that through because it's absolutely awesome. Once you hear this, you'll really, really, really understand why everyone loved Punk and why we miss him so much with his promo work. So check this out.
Hello, everybody. This is CM Punk, and this is Grammar Slam, where I read tweets and emails sent in by you, the viewer, and I correct your rotten grammar. Here versus here. Russ M. writes in and says, CM Punk, you look like a ton of bad hamburger meat smashed together into the shape of a human being. Very glad Grammar Slam exists because whenever I want to feel good about my own body, I just come here. Bye, loser. I'm really glad you added that last part of that sentence. Your first mistake is saying that I'm a human being because I'm not. I'm something much, much better. You are something much, much lower than a human being with your poor grammar. I mean, here and here are two different words. Here, H-E-R-E, is a place. It's where I am right now. Wherever you are, is there to me, but to you, it's here. Whatever horrible basement you live in. Our next tweet at CM Punk. I hear you're making a comeback. Making a comeback is in quotations, as if the person knows what quotations are used to. Ha ha, ha ha, ha. All capital letters? Yeah, right. You here? You're somewhere. And you hear that I'm making a comeback. You're here, H-E-R-E, here. I am here, you are there. If I was on the other side of the camera, relentlessly punching you in the eye for being so stupid to not know the difference between here, H-E-A-R, it just completely drives me crazy because here, H-E-A-R, has the word ear in it. It's what your ear does. Your ear hears. How do you screw that up? You hear with your fucking ear that I'm making a comeback, and you probably didn't even hear it. You probably read it on some stupid website about wrestling, because that's all you do is sit on your computer all day and type and type and read and read. And I'm surprised you can read, because one thing I know for sure is that your grammar absolutely sucks.
That was absolutely epically gold. Thank you again, CM Punk. This is why we miss him so much. I can't wait for more of that sort of stuff. That's good. So, Sean, whatever you're doing right now...
We can hear a lot of background noise.
We can hear a lot of background noise. What I need from you right now... What I need from you right now is, because I know you're walking around with your phone in your hand, this is how
my
amateur...
My TV is a little loud, maybe, I don't know, but it's on like 2 now.
Ah, that's all right. What we've
is it
got...
better now?
Yeah. What we've got is we've got our final segment, The Truth About. And this is a part where we have our special guest and we ask a few questions as such as to get to know him a bit better and to find out a bit more. So... My first question to you, hashtag Fall of Man, is what was your very first match that you saw in WWE or WWF that drew you in to the company?
Wow. Well, I originally began watching WCW, actually.
Oh!
Yeah. I switched over to the WWE, actually, as I saw... Well, I mean, I was like 5... And the first match I ever saw was Sting versus Rick Steiner on Nitro.
Wow.
And, yeah, my dad was flipping through channels one night, and I was, like, I don't know what I was doing. I was probably just being a little shit on the floor. And he turned the channel on, and I saw Sting come out, and I'm like, who? I was little, so I was like, who the heck is this guy? And now I've been like, who the fuck is this guy? But, like, he just came out with the face paint and the lights and all that stuff. I was like, who is this guy? And I saw them fight inside the steel cage, and I think Tank Abbott was there too. I think they actually beat up Sting.
Yeah, I remember Tank Abbott, yeah.
Oh, yeah? I don't know if you remember that or not. That was a long-ass time ago. Mm. As for the first WWE match, I can't really pinpoint it, but I know Kane brought me into WWE.
Yeah.
And then I started watching Kane on WWF, and then Taker... And then it just stopped from there, whatever. Then I saw, like, I think it was, like, maybe a month later, a couple weeks later or something, WCW was out of business. I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'm just watching WWF from now on. But ever since then, been going strong, and I'm here today.
Nice. I've got a question for you. How did you come to the 434 page?
I was on a page called Wrestling News Hub first. I was, technically, like, a journalist there, kind of. Like, I was, like, reporting dirt sheets and stuff like that, but, like, getting the news out to people. I was doing also results of pay-per-views, doing some coverage here and there. And then I just started making memes, and they weren't the best, but I post what I like, and I make memes that I find enjoyable. So I get – sometimes I get shit from them, sometimes I don't, but I post what I like. And I saw that – I think it was Pow. Oh, it was either Pow or this other admin. I think his name was Deadman. I think his name was George.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. George, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Pat? Yeah, I do, yeah. He was my little minion. I'd send him, get him to ask people to
join.
Yeah,
he was like your right-hand man for a little while.
Yeah, he was,
and,
yeah.
So you guys said you were hiring admins, and I was like, you know, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is they ignore me like other pages. So I just sent you guys to memes, and you were like, yeah, I like them. And I was like, cool. And I've been there. And then the other admin at Wrestling Hunt News Hub asked me to stay for a little while, so I stayed for a little while. And then I came into the 434 maybe like a month later or so. And I was S on that page just for Sean because I was really uncreative back then with my name. And then...
Well, that actually...
Nothing's really changed.
Like, well, just pick... Oh, man. I wanted to be Deadman originally, but then he had Deadman, so I was like, oh, fuck.
Well, that's what...
Like, well, just pick your favorite wrestler, pick your favorite move. Mm. And I was like, well, I do like the Ascension a lot, and I'm not going by Ascension, I'm not going by Victor or Connor, but I was like, oh, how about Fall of Man? That's a good ring to it. And
yeah.
Then, yeah. But now I'm known as the 434 a-hole.
Because, yeah, you are our resident...
Evolution.
You are our resident New Jerseyan asshole.
It was either adapt or perish, and you've chosen to adapt. Yeah. So well done.
Well done. Well done. Yeah, basically, that's pretty much it. Well, the other thing I was going to ask you is, because I ask this to all our guests, is how old are you, out of curiosity?
I am 22 years old.
So you're still a baby as well. Shit, that makes me old.
Yep.
I'm old as shit, but not as old as Don, but I'm still old as shit. I'm nearly 30. I'm 30 in like a year and a half, so... What's that say about me?
Torch, Grandpa.
I should call myself hashtag Grandpa Box.
Grandpa A-hole.
Yeah. All right, guys. That pretty much wraps up another episode of the 434 podcast. We want to thank Sean for spending his early morning on a Wednesday in New Jersey on Skype with us to sit through the whole episode with us. We want to thank the POW again. I'll thank myself because I'm so awesome. And yeah,
like an asshole would.
Like an asshole would. Thanks, guys, for coming, and we'll speak to you again real soon. Take care.